Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands one more time to God and let's say thank you, Lord, for miracles, for signs, wonders, healings that are being accomplished in our church body. You are faithful, Lord, and we are grateful for your faithfulness. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise God. He is a good God. Amen. All the time, Roy. That's right. So what are we celebrating this week? Thanksgiving. Praise God. Somebody asked me before the service, said, are you ready for Thanksgiving? I said, I'm always ready to eat. I'm not doing nothing else. I just show up. You know, there are people that are anointed to cook, Liz Fabian, thank you. And there are people that are anointed to eat, Trey Dickerson. Amen. So we just speak blessings over you this week as you get together with family. And this propels me into starting a new series today. How many of you know we're entering into the holidays this week, and there's some things that people deal with during the holiday season, and it's really not just the people that deal with it during the holidays. All of us deal with circumstances and situations that come into our life that tend to get us in the mully grubs, you know what I mean, like that, get us down and depressed and things like that. So I'm going to start a new series today. Is that all right? And we're going to title this series, How to Be Happy. How to Be Happy. Now, notice the title, because the title is very important because, number one, you need to understand it's available to you to be happy all the time. Amen. Now, I'm going to go ahead and bring this point out because I know, there, in my opinion, there is some theology out there and some belief systems in Christendom that people have embraced that I don't necessarily believe are completely accurate. And what they do is they tend to separate joy from happiness. Well, I got the joy of the Lord on the inside of me, but happiness is not something, you know, that's based on your circumstances, that's an emotional thing. No, no, no. How many of you know that when you're really joyful, you're not going to have to tell people you're joyful? It will overflow in your emotional makeup from time to time. And the Lord gave me this statement, and I believe it's for us today. Joy is a gift. Happiness is a choice. Joy is a gift, and happiness is a choice. So we're going to find out today, we're going to begin looking at this, at how to choose to be happy. How to let the joy of the Lord that's already resident in our born-again, recreated spirit overflow in our life to where we're experiencing that happiness in our life. Now listen, you need to do this for yourself. Because how many of you know, have you ever seen pictures of yourself when you're frowning? As opposed to when you're smiling? You look a lot better while you're smiling, don't you? All right, so do it for yourself just so you'll look better. Amen? But if you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for your spouse. Do it for your children. Do it for your roommates. Do it for your church family, because you're just more of a pleasure to be around when you're happy. How many of you like to be around people that are unhappy? No. We like to be around people that are happy. And I'm of the persuasion that the children of God should be the happiest people on the planet. Amen. So let's turn over to Psalm 144, and let's look at a scripture that validates this. The 144th Psalm, and we're going to look at the last verse. Praise God. Shannon, you got your Amplified Bible? All right, I'm going to read from the Amplified, which I call this the woman's Bible. And it's not just because Joyce Meyer is the one that uses it. It's because it's real wordy. Stay in your seat now. Woo, man. And let me remind you, we're talking about pride and humility right now. So if that statement upsets you, that's your pride. Okay? Psalm 144. See, it's okay to have fun in church. You understand that? God is not offended by our joking around. In fact, He's kind of like that way. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness more than His companions. That means that Jesus was one of the happiest people you'd ever seen. And you know how we know that was true? Because the kids flocked to him. Kids don't like to come around adults that are downcast and grumpy. They like to come to the happy ones, the ones that will play with them and have fun. Amen. I was in church one time, and I got rebuked for this, actually. But I was standing there, and I came in, or the kids came into the service afterwards, and they all just ran up to me and surrounded me and all this kind of stuff. And I raised my hand and said, "Suffer the young children to come unto me." That was probably not a smart thing. People can take that the wrong way. But listen, children like people that are happy, that have a good time. And God believes in having a good time. You want to hear a good joke? Get into a good relationship with God. He'll tell you some hilarious jokes. I'm serious. And if you've never heard any of these things, it's because we haven't opened ourselves up to that part of God's nature. But God is fun. Amen. Well, here in Psalm 144, let's look at verse, the last verse in this psalm, verse 15. I love this right here. It says, "Happy and blessed are the people who are in such a case." Yes, happy. Now notice this definition that the Amplified Bible gives for this word happy. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and to be envied are the people whose God is the Lord. Amen. The regular translations just say, happy are the people whose God is the Lord, or whose Elohim is Jehovah. Amen? So how many people in here, your God is Jehovah, the Lord, Yahweh? How many people can say that? Then this scripture says you're to be happy. It's your inheritance. It's the way it should be. Now, is it this way? No. You go to most churches and you'll find some of the most unhappy people. Some of the most grumpy, murmuring, and complaining type of people are Christians. But it should not be that way. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be, as the Amplified Bible says, blessed. Amen. And fortunate. Now, we would say, when we hear this word fortunate, we might use the word lucky. Amen. You know, the world should look at us, and this is a big part of yours and my witness. The world should look at us and say, they're so doggone lucky. And then we have to correct them and say, no, it ain't luck, sweetheart. This is called being blessed and being highly favored by God. Amen. And then it goes on to say, to be prosperous, which means to be successful and to flourish in every area of our lives. Amen. That's God's will for every single Christian. And it will produce joy and happiness in our life. And then it goes on to say, and to be envied. To be envied. So, listen, if we're walking in the fullness of everything God has for us, the world should actually look at our life and look at the fruit that's going on and the joy and the happiness that we have and be envious of us. They should look at us and say, I want what they got. Amen. See, this is a huge part of our witness. You know, because why? Because people, we shouldn't have to go and always just be telling everybody what we believe. We should be living what we believe. Amen? And if we're walking in everything God has for us, which includes happiness, then people should look at us and say, I don't know what it is that's, what it is about this one, but I want what they got. I've got to have that because I don't have that in my life. See, the Bible tells us over in Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall be witnesses. It does not say you shall go witnessing. And see, we've limited to witnessing, to going around, going door to door and handing out tracts. Now, there's a place for that. But listen, just living out the blessing of the Lord in your life and just being a happy person when circumstances wouldn't dictate that you would be a happy person is one of the best witnesses you can ever have. The Bible calls us that we are the epistles of God, read and known by all men. Did you know your life is the only Bible some people will ever read? They'll look at you, and because you're walking out the joy, the peace, and all these different things that are available to you, people should flock to the Lord. As it says over in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it talks about that the goodness of God leads man to repentance. Amen? Now, is that true because God is good? No. How many of you know God is always good? He does not change, right, Roy? He's good all the time. Are people repenting all the time? No. No, people are not repenting hand over fist. So what are we talking about here? It's the manifestation of the goodness of God in your and my life that will lead people to repentance. It's the manifestation of God's goodness in our life from what they observe and through our life through what we do for them. That's what causes people to repent. Amen? They need to see God in us. And how many of you know God's a happy God? He is a God full of joy. The Bible says He rejoices over us with singing. Amen? And so we should be reflecting that in our lives. Praise God. And this is what everybody is looking for in their lives. Every person on this planet lives their entire life seeking after joy and happiness. Now, it might look like they're seeking after other things like fame, money, relationships, marriages, all this different stuff, family stuff. But really what they're looking for is to be happy. And what the world will do, and let me give you this illustration. The Lord gave me a vision of this one time. Picture the outline of like a gingerbread man. It kind of looked like that. It was an outline of a person like that. And the person, the whole image was made up of these different puzzle pieces. And there were certain shapes that fit into each one of these things. But right in the heart of this image was a certain shape of a puzzle piece. And this person was trying to cram in their fame, success, marriage, relationships, drugs, alcohol. And they're trying to cram all this stuff in that certain part where their heart is to no avail. Because there's only one thing that will fit into that certain part of their heart. And that is Jesus. So I need to say this before we go any further. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, if you've never been born again and had a transformation in your heart to where the joy of the Lord has moved into you, you are incapable of being consistently happy. Okay? So if that's you, we can take care of that today. When we have the altar call at the end, we'll get you saved today, amen, and get that part taken care of. But how many of you know that even with legitimately born-again, Spirit-filled believers, we can have a tendency that the joy and peace that flooded our heart when we got saved seems to dissipate as time goes on. And some well-meaning Christians that sit in church pews will come and tell that person, "Well, brother, what that is you got a special grace when you first got saved. And when you're a baby, God sticks that pacifier in your mouth and gives you a certain grace of joy and peace. But then you're going to have to grow up and learn to walk out these things with no feelings." I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree at all that it's God's plan to do things that way. I believe what it is it's the decisions we made when we first got saved. And doing things differently after that is what changed. Amen. See, look back at your life. When you got either born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, or had some kind of spiritual awakening, when your spiritual light bulb got turned on, and you experienced the most joy you ever had, what were you doing during that time? People didn't have to twist your arm to read the Bible. You'd come to the church every time the doors were open. You were spending time with the Lord. Amen. You were focused on His marvelous grace that you recently experienced in your life. All these things are consistent behaviors of the person that's filled with joy. However, what happens is, once that experience is made in our life, then we tend to graduate from grace and the love of God and start to focus on, well, you got to do 7 steps to this, 10 steps to that, all these different things, and we get focused more on self. We start letting condemnation come in our heart. Then the joy flies away from us like a bird out of a tree. But that's not God's will. The Bible says, "Happy are those whose God is the Lord." Amen? So that just means if He's your God still today as He was yesterday, you should still be happy. Amen. So it's something that's available to us all the time. But notice the title of this series, How to Be Happy. Because what we're going to get into is how we can purposefully and aggressively obtain the happiness that's available to us. Because it does come through actions. Amen. So with this being the week of Thanksgiving, amen, then it just seems good to me that we should enter into the gates of this teaching with thanksgiving. Come on now. So the title of my message today is Having an Attitude of Gratitude. Amen. One of the main keys to being a happy person. You show me a thankful, grateful person, and I'll show you a happy person. But you show me somebody who's not thankful, who's a murmurer, a complainer, has a tendency to look at the negative side of things all the time, I'll show you an unhappy person. Amen. So being thankful and being grateful is a big catalyst to bringing that happiness into our lives and experiencing this thing that is happiness called a choice. Amen. So let's look at some scriptures. Let's go into the New Testament and go over to Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at a few scriptures and find out what God's will is regarding being thankful. And you'll come to find out real quick, once we read these scriptures, how most of us don't do this. Okay? But it is a big key to unlocking joy and happiness in our lives. Now, we looked at this scripture actually last week, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. See, I talked about how people try to fill their heart up with stuff. How many people turn to alcohol? See, now I'm preaching to somebody in here. There are people in here that turn to alcohol to get happy. That's the only way they're able to get happy. I'm not even going to try to look at anybody while I say this. So they say, Pastor's preaching to me right now. No, the Lord's talking to you. I'm not thinking about anybody specific right now. But the Lord knows. Amen. People turn to things like this to try to get happy. But notice what the scripture says. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, what he's doing right here is he is differentiating between getting drunk in the world and getting drunk in the Spirit. And if you get full of the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? It's going to produce a lot of the same effects as alcohol would produce in you without the hangover and without having to spend the money. Sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? Now, when he says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, or but be being filled or continuously filled, go to the next verse, Emmy. Speak. This is how you stay continuously filled. Speaking to one another. Now, in the original Greek, you have to kind of put this in there that it says speaking to one another. In the King James, it says speaking to yourselves. So I believe it could be one or both of these things, but I think you need to do some self-talk too. Speak to yourself in these things. In what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Very practical information about how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You ready for this? Number one, with psalms. Psalms is what? Well, let's just look at it from what the psalms are in the Bible. Okay? Did you know you can just go to the Psalms and just start reading and singing those things to yourself? It'll keep you full of the Holy Spirit. Spiritually inspired songs is what psalms are. And hymns, which this might be worldly songs. I mean, not worldly, but songs that came by human origin. Amen? Good worship songs like we were singing this morning. You can sing those things in your heart. And spiritual songs. This is one of my favorite ways to do it. Sing in the Spirit. Amen. Or speak in the Spirit. Glory to God. As you do these things, it keeps you filled up. But here's a big key right here. Because you can do all these things. You can sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and stuff like that. But if you're not singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, it might not produce that joy in your life. See, it's got to come from the heart. You got to have a heart that's inclined towards the Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for what you've done. And as I'm doing these things, it's coming up out of my heart to you. Now let's look at verse 20, because usually we stop there, but notice he goes on to give us another key. Giving thanks always for all things to the God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you got to include in here giving thanks. Listen, not just giving thanks, but giving thanks always for all things. Now, religion has perverted this to think, oh man, I need to thank God for that car wreck. Thank God for stealing my child. God, thank you for... No, no, no. He's not saying give thanks to God for things God didn't give to you. How many of you know that if Johnny gave Betty something, Betty don't need to come to me and thank me for it? She needs to go to Johnny and thank him for it, right? See, it's just natural understanding to know that God's not, if God didn't give it to you, you don't thank him for it. If the devil gave it to you, you don't thank him for it either. But you certainly don't attribute it to God as being the author of it. Amen? So don't let religion pervert this. When he says giving thanks always for all things to God, it's to God for the things God's given you. For every good and every perfect gift that he's poured out in your life. Amen? But it says here, giving thanks always. So what does this mean? This means that we're living a lifestyle of giving God thanks for everything he's done in our life. Amen? Now, as we go into talking about that, giving God thanks and being thankful is not just saying, thank you, Lord. Nor is praising God saying, I praise you, Lord. Did you know you can praise God to somebody else? Oh, Barb, let me tell you what God's done for me this week. He delivered me in this and that. Or he healed my foot. God, let me tell you. You know what you're doing when you do that? You're praising God. Amen. You know how we know that? You're praising your kids and your grandkids all the time, aren't you? Come on now, aren't you? You're praising your kids and your grandkids. How? By telling people how they've excelled in school, how they've done good in this venture and all these different things. You're praising them. So I've come to find out that most Christians spend more time praising the devil than they do God. How do you do that? By what? Talking about all the things the devil's doing in your life, all the bad things that are going on. If you talk about that all the time, you're praising the devil. Ignore him. He's the one with pride. You know that? He is the epitome of pride. And what does pride have to have? Pay attention to me. Look at me. Talk about me. That's what pride likes, right? So if the devil's filled with pride, then guess what? He's wanting you to give you his attention. What's the best way to just give a sucker punch to somebody that's wanting you to talk about them all the time? Ignore them. Some of us need to learn to ignore the devil's actions in our life and turn around and praise God. Amen? By what? Giving God thanks always for all the things that he's providing in your life. Now, he goes into greater detail over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's turn over there. This is good practical information for you today. So how do we give God thanks then? It's by going back in our life and purposefully and deliberately recalling the things God has given you and thanking him for them. So what you should do is go back in your life and say, God, this is the way I look at it. Oh, God, I thank you for that time that I was riding my bicycle down the road. And my dad kicked that ball over, and it got lodged up under the front tire, and I flipped up and came from about 6 or 7 feet up in the air, face first on the pavement with no hands to break my fall, and came up with just a loose baby tooth getting knocked out. Thank you, Lord. Go back in your life and recall the things he's done for you. Lord, thank you how you saved me. See, God did this with the Jews. You understand that? What did he constantly do? He set up these feasts. He set up these memorials in their life to remind them constantly of what? How he delivered them out of Egypt. What does that mean to us? Their exodus from Egypt is typified in our exodus from the world and getting saved. So we should be going back and recalling how God saved us. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. And getting specific with it. Amen. Now, it says over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Oh, man, a two-word verse that most people don't believe. Rejoice when you feel like it. Rejoice when your circumstances are good. Rejoice when everything's going right in your life. No, rejoice always. So when you see this, what should you automatically conclude? God's not going to tell you to do something you're not capable of doing. Oh, I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. If I were to offer you $1 million, that if you can go this entire day today, thanking God every minute of the day, you could do it. It's just, we got to be properly motivated. And our honor for God is what should be the motivation. Amen? But it's God's telling you to do this for your benefit. That's what's awesome about it. He's not telling you to do this because he's trying to twist your arm, get you to do something you don't want to do. He's telling you to do it because it's best for you. It's going to produce and yield happiness and joy in your life. So rejoice always. Now notice this one. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now another one, people think, they don't believe this either. How can you do that? I can't all day long without ceasing get down on my knees and bow my head and close my eyes and fold my hands and pray. That's because you don't know what prayer is. Prayer is not a position or a posture. Prayer is simply this. Here's your best basic definition for prayer. Communication with God. Communion with God, meaning it's two-way. You're not just talking, you're listening. Amen? So that's what prayer is. So guess what? You can communicate with all day with it. Even when you're at work, even when you got them loud grandkids, even when all these situations are going, you can constantly, under your breath, thank you, Father. God, show me this. Lord, teach me this. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, bless so-and-so. Do this for them. I thank you for keeping them this week. You can do that if you're properly motivated. Now notice the next one. In everything, give thanks. Now he says it a little differently here. Paul, who also wrote Ephesians, says here, in everything, give thanks. So now he's not saying give thanks for everything. He's saying give thanks in everything. Meaning, even when you're in situations that are uncomfortable, even when you have circumstances going on in your life that are undesirable, in them you can give thanks. Not for them, but in the midst of them. Amen? So you're choosing to take your attention off the winds and the waves. You remember when Jesus told Peter, come. He steps out of the boat. Now everybody criticizes Peter for starting to sink. Who in here would have gotten out of the boat? I mean, really? I'd have been probably like Thomas. I'd probably been staying in the boat. You know what I mean? He got the gall to get out of the boat. And he starts walking, and the Bible says that when he began to see that the winds and the waves were boisterous, he began to sink. Now, how many of you have ever seen someone begin to sink? Nobody's ever seen anyone begin to sink. You either sink or you don't. So that shows the grace and mercy of God that he's going down and he's got space for repentance. Space and time to get his attention and focus back on the Lord and get his eyes off the winds and the waves. But listen, just as Peter began to sink when he was observing the winds and the waves, likewise, your joy and happiness level will sink and diminish as you observe the circumstances and situations in your life. But if you keep your focus on the Lord, as Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, in that range, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Verse 2. And the Greek word for looking unto there literally means this. And this is important. To look away from everything else and look unto Jesus. Because how many of you know the devil is going to throw situations and circumstances in your life, and the world we live in is going to do that too, that are going to be crying out for your attention. Look at me. Look at me. Woo, I'll do a little dance for you if you just look at me. And you got to purposefully get your attention off those things and get them back on the Lord. And if you do that, you can have water walking joy. Amen. It's quiet in this church today. Notice what he goes on to say. In everything, go back over to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. And then he says this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what is this teaching us? It's teaching us that people are clamoring all the time, I want to know what God's will is for me. I want, Pastor, I want to know what God wants me to do. God wants you to be thankful all the time in everything. Work on that. And then the rest of it will happen. You see what I'm saying? But I want to know my calling. I want to know my purpose. I want to know what my ministry is. Your ministry is to thank God all the time in everything. And here's the awesome thing. When you're in the middle of the will of God and you're pleasing God as a result, you will know it. There won't be any question, am I pleasing God right now? You will sense the Lord's pleasure through joy. I mean, this is what we experience when you go on a missions trip. It's a great example, really. When you're on a missions trip, it's not that there's anything special about going somewhere other than the United States. But what it is, it's the heart attitude of the people who go. They're living their week or 2 weeks seeking first the kingdom of God constantly and consistently. And it produces a contentment, a satisfaction, and a joy. But you don't got to go to India to experience that. You can go to the other side of town and experience that if you just live your life that way. Amen? And that's really where a big key is in experiencing this fullness and contentment in your life. And the happiness that's supposed to be in our life. It's through what? It's through doing what God's told you to do. And it starts with being thankful and grateful. Amen? I mean, it's just a choice, you know? Because it's like this. I thought of this example this week. It's like somebody might come and they're sitting in the pews today. And they'll be like, you can choose what you're going to focus on. You could be like this. You could come here and you could say, why can't you just send me to a church that has heat that works? Well, you can choose to focus on that, or you can choose to focus on the fact, Lord, thank you for sending me a church. It's got such great teaching and such great ministry. Amen. Truth, what are you going to choose to look at and be grateful for or grumble and complain about? It's just that simple. Now, I know many of us have heard stuff like this. We've been going to church long enough to be able to hear things like this. But it ain't what you know up here. It's what you're doing in your life. And listen, all of us need constant course corrections in this in our life. Because it's just easy to do what the children of Israel did. See, we criticize them. I had somebody tell me one time, I said, how in the world could the children of Israel see the manna and the water out of the rock and the plagues coming upon Egypt and all this stuff and still murmur and still complain in the wilderness? And you know what my answer is? The same way you do it. Because we all do it. Amen. It's just easy because it's the nature of the flesh to focus on what we don't have currently. I mean, they were about to starve. God gives them the manna. Right? Gives them the manna, and then they start griping and complaining. I don't know how long it was after that. We need some meat. Glory to God. I mean, we need some meat. It's like we'll go eat this week at Thanksgiving, and we're sitting there eating the appetizer. Where's the turkey, man? I'm ready for the turkey. Well, be thankful for the bread. Be thankful for what you got. And this is what's so awesome about it, is if you... We have a tendency to not focus on all the good that we have. But when it's taken away from us, boy, we would... You understand, there's certain people in the world, and I just got back from a nation that is full of people like this, that would kill to have your bad days. Did you hear what I just said? They would kill to have your bad days. Amen. Because it's not until you don't have it. It's like, these are things we should be thankful for. You ready for this? If you're sick in your body, like if you got your right leg is hurting, oh man, it's got pain today and this leg is hurting, well, thank God for the other leg not hurting. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, both my legs do hurt. Well, then thank God for having a nervous system that works fine so you can feel the pain. I'll tell you, some of the things you should be thankful for are amazing. Like, if they're not working, you're very aware of them. You know one thing you should be thankful for? Tear ducts that work in your eye. I know people that stops working, and every time they blink, it feels like razor blades going over their eyeball. How many times do we thank God for that part of us that works? The tendency is we don't thank God for that until it hadn't worked, and then it starts working again. Come on now. You know what else you should be thankful for? This rear end we got. You know, some people will complain about that. And I say, I just wish I didn't have so much weight on me. Well, thank God you're able to sit down on hard seats and it don't hurt. It hurts other people. Come on now, I'm serious. You can find something to be thankful for. You can find something to be grateful for. And if you'll choose to focus on what you do have instead of the few things you don't have, you'll be a much happier person. That's my point today. Go over to Psalm 94. Or is it 95, Emmy? I'll tell you in a second. Yeah, it's 95. So let's look at some scriptures real quick as we begin to close today. I was going to cut the message short today because I thought it was going to be cold in here. But since it feels so good, we'll just preach normal. How about that? I mean, besides that, do you got anything better to do today than to sit under the Word? The answer is no. Well, I'm ready to eat. Well, let's eat first spiritually. 95:1. Listen to this. I love this right here. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Now, does that sound like a suggestion? The Bible's telling you to do this. And somebody will say when you read this, they'll be like, well, I don't sing, Pastor. Listen, everybody can sing. Not everybody should record, but everybody can sing. You following me? We're not asking you to cut a new album. The Lord just likes to hear your voice and sing the best you know how. Amen? And then he says, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Now notice what he's saying right here. Shout joyfully. Now, most of the times you hear a Christian ever doing this is when they're watching the Georgia Bulldogs or something. When a guy throws a little pigskin inflated with air into the end zone, people get up and they act crazy. Those same people will do that say, well, it's just not my temperament to come into the house of the Lord and shout or to dance or to do this and that. Yet they go to their favorite sporting event or they go watch their grandkid play Little League. They act crazy. So don't tell me that. Besides that, even if it isn't your temperament, God's not suggesting it. We need to get outside of ourselves. Amen? Well, I'm just not a shouter. Well, my tendency is to shout, okay? But you know what my tendency is to not do is? To be still. Come on now. Most of us, it might be our tendency, you know. I'm just, you know, I don't dance and I don't shout and I don't do all this demonstrative type of things and I'm just quiet and still. I'm the opposite. I'll have a tendency to do those things. But listen, so you know what I do? When I get before the Lord sometimes, when it's my tendency to march back and forth and pray and rah, 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 you know, that kind of thing, I purposely get still. Because I know if God's telling me to be still and know that He is God sometimes, then there must be some value in that. So I get outside of my normal temperament and the way that I am and do those things. Follow me? Likewise, you, if you're not a shouter or a dancer, I was watching Bruce dance this morning. You understand something? Bruce doesn't do that normally, but he took to heart something that I'd said before. That if the Lord tells you to do these things, it don't matter what you feel like. Honor the Lord and get out of your comfort zone. So guess what? He gets out of his comfort zone. Sorry, did I say that way? Yeah, I thought Oliver was going to start preaching my message this morning when he starts talking about the walls. How many of you know when God told the children of Israel to walk around them walls for, what, 6 days and not say nothing? Now, let's talk about that part first. Don't say nothing. You should be quiet. How many of you know how hard that was? Because those guys were on the top of that wall. You know they were throwing tomatoes down on them and they were telling them how much of idiots you are. What are you dumb idiots doing? God told them to do it. So it's in obedience to what God told you to do. Right? And then he said on the seventh day, shout. But what if nothing happens? We're going to look stupid. If you act on what God tells you to do, even when you don't feel like it, walls come down. You want the walls to come down in your life? Walls of depression, walls of grief, walls of sorrow. then it comes in finding out what God's told you to do and acting on it even when you don't feel like it. There should have been at least one amen out of that. I mean, come on. I'm teaching you how to get out of the wilderness. You understand it was not God's will for the children of Israel to roam around in the wilderness for 40 years. It was just a few day journey. Why were they out there? Because of their choice. And mainly that what they were doing was murmuring and complaining, not listening to what the Lord was telling them through Moses. And I'm Moses today. And I'm telling you today what the Lord is saying to you. So you want to get out of your wilderness? You want to see the walls come down and possess your promised land? Get out of yourself and do what the Lord tells you to do. Amen. So he says here, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Now notice the phrase, let us, used twice there. Let us. That's not just poetic talk. Let us indicates you got a role to play in it. Amen. You remember when Jesus was getting his disciples into the boat? And he said, let us cross over to the other side. Why did he say it that way? Because if the disciples didn't let him, they wouldn't have gotten there. They had a decision and a part to play in this. Amen. And we're talking about ways to do that. But he says here in verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Now you can read that as saying, let this be the attitude by which we come before his presence. Or you could read it to say, the way you come before his presence is with thanksgiving. And the reason I believe it's that way is if you go over to Psalm 100, just a few pages over to the right, let's look at a powerful psalm that makes this point. Psalm 100, a short, sweet psalm with a lot of practical wisdom, says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Now, again, not a suggestion. He's telling you to do it for your benefit. Serve the Lord with sadness. What? Oh, I'm reading the NIV, the non-inspired version today. That's first hesitations. No, serve the Lord with gladness. So that's not a suggestion. We're supposed to be glad, happy, joy-filled people. Serving Him like that as a witness unto Him. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. Now, I'm glad that he put that verse right here, because I can preach on that. Because right in the middle, what are we talking about? God made you. He knows your temperament. He knows your personality. He knows the way you are. And if God's saying right here in the middle of this, I know who you are. I know it's not your tendency to dance. I know it's not your tendency to shout. I know it's not your tendency to be thankful. But listen to me, do it. Even when you don't feel like it. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So what is he saying right here? He's describing the temple or the tabernacle here, is he not? Amen? And the way God designed the house of the Lord was that you went through the gates. And let's just talk about the tabernacle because what he's referring to here. You go into the gates with thanksgiving, and then into the courts, outer court, inner court, with praise. But then he stops there. Let me give you the New Testament completion to this verse. And then into the Holy of Holies with worship that's in spirit and in truth. See, he couldn't say that to the Old Testament saint because only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. But how many of you know today, we got many New Testament scriptures that says we can come boldly and have access into the holiest place because of the blood of Christ. Therefore, because I'm washed in the blood, because now I am a king and a priest in the kingdom of God, I can move past the inner courts right slap dab into the Holy of Holies where the veil has been rent and have access with confidence. But what's the process into his presence? See, the Holy of Holies was where his presence, that's where they knew his presence was. The Ark of the Covenant, all these different things in there. What's the process to get to the Holy of Holies? You got to first go into his gates with thanksgiving. So let me give you some good practical advice of how to get into the presence of God. You start with being thankful. You start with thanksgiving. So when you get alone with the Lord in the morning, you shouldn't just go straight into praise. You can, not a big deal. But you want to see the purest way to enter into his presence? See, because there's protocol. God is a king. And you wouldn't just go into the presence of a noble person like that, just flippantly and, you know, whatever. We need to have more honor for God. But you start off, Father, I want to thank you that in 2000, you opened my eyes to the truth and you saved my soul. Thank you for the mercy that you showed me on that day. I thank you. You filled me with the Holy Spirit soon thereafter. And I thank you for all these different things. Thank you, Lord, you paid my car note that time. Oh, God, thank you that you did this and that you did that. You delivered me here and you provided for me here when it seemed like there's no way. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then nobody's going to have to stir you up and start strumming a guitar or playing a little piano to get your emotional makeup in the position to start praising God, because you already have primed the pump, baby, through thanksgiving. This is how you live, baby. This is how you produce the joy in your life. It starts with thanksgiving, being a thankful person. And then the praise just comes out. So as you, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for this. I'm going through my journal. Thank you. Oh, man, I forgot about that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are good. Now I'm in the courts. Now I'm ready to go into the Holy of Holies. So once I get into the Holy of Holies, where His presence is, what's the result, Pastor? I'm so glad you asked. Go to Psalm 16. I don't know about y'all, but I sure am glad I came today. This is how you live, baby. This is how you can live a lifestyle that's contagious. Amen. And it does not matter what you've gone through. Don't start making concessions for the reason why. See, the reason why people like to differentiate between joy and happiness, I've come to find this out. This is why a lot of people do that. Is because if I can distinguish that joy is different than happiness, then I can make excuses for why I can say I got joy in my heart and I ain't never happy. It's tight, but it's right. We should be happy. We should be filled with joy. And you can be. I said you can be. But it comes through this protocol that I'm talking to you about. Verse 11. You will show me the path of life. We would do good right now to say that together. Come on, say it with me. You will show me the path of life. See, you should say that every day. If you hadn't experienced the path of life and you're not experiencing all these things, say, Lord, you will show me the path of life today. Well, how can you be so arrogant to think God's definitely going to show you? He told you to say that. He wouldn't put that in there if it's not available to you. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. So if we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His presence with thanksgiving, then what are we entering into? Fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. A pleasurable life, a joy-filled life is available to us, but it starts by entering into His gates with thanksgiving. By being a genuinely heartfelt, thankful person, living your life that way, it will start off in your life producing joy-filled, happy emotions in you. Amen? You know, I'm telling you, guys, I have been through situations and circumstances. It's like, let me talk about this. This is a good point to us. What is one thing we have a tendency to grumble and complain about? It's our job. You know, have y'all ever found out how easy that is when you're working? Stuff like that? It's just easy that what you're doing with 40 hours of your week, you have the tendency to say, man, it's just, I wish I could get that promotion. I wish I could, God would open this door. I wish I wouldn't have these stupid coworkers I had to deal with. I wish my boss would be nicer to me. And it's to focus on all the negative things. Did you know something that becomes very sobering to you? I remember when we moved to Colorado Springs for me to go to Bible college, it was supernatural how I could not find a job. And I will tell you one thing, when that nest egg we had before we went out there starts getting lower and lower and lower and it's all about to be gone, I mean, I'd have happily gone, I'd have happily, like the prodigal son, go filled his stomach with this and that. I'd have gone to McDonald's, man. Whatever. Just give me something. I'll start flipping patties, Lord, because I need some money. But nothing was opening up. See, when you don't have something, you know, that's one thing. That experience we had when it was very difficult to find a job, you know what that's made it very easy for me not to do now? Is ever grumble and complain about anything in my job. Why? Because this is better than not having nothing and being unemployed. You following me? So it's the tendency of the flesh. But listen, we've all done these things. So it's just a constant course correction. So let's put our attention back over on, all right, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for that jerk of a boss that I have. No, you don't say that. You say, thank you, Lord, that I got a boss, meaning I'm employed. Come on now. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And when you live your life that way, what are you doing? You're positioning yourself for fullness of joy. Now, if there's fullness of joy, you know what that teaches us? There's partial joy that you can experience. There's levels of joy. How many of you want to experience fullness of joy? The max amount of joy that we can have in our lives. How's it going to come? It's going to come as we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Amen? So, man, it would just be appropriate, Judy, as you're coming up right now, why don't we just start thanking God for some things real quick? Let's prime the pump in this place today and start being thankful. Amen.